Okay, now everybody can't be working over there on the chili. My goodness. Boy. Wow. Maybe I hope some will drift in. Sometimes I get up here and start real, and then all of a sudden they start coming in. And, well, I hope they do. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. We have a lot to cover today, and the least of which is not the chili cook-off. But let's begin with a word of prayer and work our way to a good appetite, listening to the Word of God and worshiping together, and then we will have some fun this afternoon. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to assemble with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that all that we do today will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Brian, let's begin with this hymn.
All right, would you all join us, please, in song number 157? Song number 157, At the Cross. Would you stand and sing it?
Picked up a few during that song. Let's sing five more verses and five more songs, and maybe a few more will come wandering in. Okay, first of all, I apologize about missing Wednesday night. By the way, we sang that hymn in reference to Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, the criminal on the cross said, "Remember me today, remember me when you enter your kingdom." And Christ said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise. So first of all, we have the assurance today. That's just got to have been unbelievable to his ears. Today, before 6 p.m., you will be with me in paradise. But Wednesday night, we're going to look at why he said criminal, because there's a very important reason why he said criminal or kingdom, why he said, remember me in your kingdom, and why Christ didn't say kingdom, he said paradise. So we're going to look at the response that Christ gives this man Wednesday evening. Now, just a quick word. Thank you for your prayers. It really, the best I can say is just kind of like a false alarm. Went in for to see the cardiologist Wednesday, and I should have known better than accepting a Wednesday appointment. But the cardiologist, well, we're going to keep you in the hospital. We're going to run a lot of tests. I said, not today. Oh, yeah, today, right now. We're going to let you out of the hospital. I said, well, let me go home and get some clean underwear. Let me do something. And, you know, no, we're going to keep you in today. And so they keep me in. They had to find me a bed. And they finally found one. I waited about 2 or 3 hours for a bed. They finally found one. Went in. And next to a guy named Charlie. He fought in the Korean War. And so I'm there, all, you know, they didn't expect anything Wednesday night, but Thursday, about noon, nothing, no test, nothing. So the cardiologist that's in head of the whole floor of all these heart people with heart problems came in, and he said, well, talk about government health program, one of our primary tests we wanted to give you is broken down, so we can't give you that one. And so I said, look, why don't we just give me my monitor? I'm wearing a monitor, and let me go home. And he came back in about an hour later and said, "Okay, we're going to send you out." Now that was at 11 o'clock. I didn't check out to around 4, but be that as it may, thank you for your prayers. They don't know what's causing it. I thought I had a little EKG port which would give them some good information, but it really didn't. And so just be in prayer. On the positive side, they confirmed I have a heart. Yeah. Well, the surgeon that did my first quadruple heart bypass, he said, I held your heart in my hand. I said, oh, I know a lot of people that would have loved to have had that and throw that sucker down and stomp it. But so we'll just have to see what God is doing, and not really sure what that was all about right now. I have a couple ideas. But maybe never know. But thank you for your prayers. And thinking of prayers, let's see. How's Thomas? Thomas, there you are. How you doing? Okay. Good. All right. How's he doing? Monthly checks.
Yeah, he's going to keep getting monthly checks instead. We're still lowering his immunosuppressive,
though. Good.
And he doesn't know if he'll take them off. Doesn't know if he'll stop by the IG. He's just going to be very reserved.
Just be careful. Don't hurry. Don't rush. The boy's been through a miracle at this point. No sense in rushing it. My goodness. And well, we'll continue being in prayer, Thomas, and for your continual health, your legs and all. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Dennis went to the doctor Wednesday.
This is Judah's son-in-law.
And you
were
telling me.
No, go ahead.
There's definitely something on that kidney, but it's hard, so they don't think yet. They're just going to watch it. Blood is not flowing through it, so that's a good sign.
Because he's just down to one. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll continue being in prayer for Dennis. And let's see. Jason, how's everything going with your new baby? Good. All right. Yes, sir. Anne Marie, all right. Okay. We will be in prayer. Thank you very much. Any other prayer requests that we need to be aware of? Yes, sir. Yep.
Slam is going along great. Continue to pray for all that's going to happen at our slam camp, which is March 21st, 2nd, 3rd. And then we're starting to get up, gear up for the summer camp, planning for the summer camp. So
okay.
A non-stop rotation. You guys have to figure that out. We do need some support. I have a prayer request that we find some additional support in the administrative area.
Okay. Very good. Administrative work for the whole year or for the camp or for?
Preferably for the whole year.
For the whole year.
It's ongoing. I mean, SLAM has administrative work that has to happen. The administrative work is managing applications, managing documents, putting things to making sure that the folks that are putting in applications are actually paying, or managing
properly filled out.
Let me answer you this way, people. Don't get to the throne of God after you die and say, I never had a chance to really serve you. I never had a chance to really have an impact in people's lives. And I wanted to, but I didn't have, because this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity of taking care of the influence of Christ in 2050 when you're gone. And so this is our opportunity to work with these young people. Do something in regard to their spiritual life. So if you have any desire, please get in touch with Chris and Laura Day.
Yeah,
let's continue being in prayer for Eve. She, I don't know if she has a little problem last night or today, but she was going to be here. So let's be in prayer for Eve, and her surgery went well, and a short time in rehab went well. And so let's be in prayer for Eve, and that her physical body will heal and get going there really well. Okay, any other thing else? All right. Yes. Really? Wow. I've met Beth's mother in Houston at a pastor's conference, and so, yeah, we will be in prayer. Absolutely.
What is your name?
Huh?
My mom's name is Sharon.
I also have a job interview tomorrow.
Job interview.
Prayer for that.
Do I?
Job interview.
Yeah, all right. Okay. We in prayer. And yes?
Patricia's just getting over shingles. Hopefully just getting over. She's had it about a week. It's been a tough week for her.
Okay, definitely be in prayer. And Pat, tell us what the procedure is going to be after service today.
Okay, we're having a chili cook-off today. Woo-hoo! I think we have somewhere between 6 and 9 different chilies.
Whoa!
And everybody's welcome to have chili free. Just go down. They're all in the children's classroom. So there's 3 groups, 3 teams. Each team has at least 2 to 3 chilies. Just walk down, get your chili. To vote for the chili, it costs, 1 vote is $5, 3 votes for $10. You can get little marbles and stick in their little jars. And we have drinks and condiments down here and the desserts. So come back here, we'll have tables set up, and you can eat your chili down here.
Boy, 6 to 9 different chilies. Oh, man.
No pressure to finish early.
And we probably have all the requested chili, maybe.
And we don't.
We have no idea what's actually going to be there.
And we can kind of go back and get it. I need to taste that one again. I need to taste that one. In fact, I need to taste all nine again.
That's right.
And okay, all right.
In order to vote, you have to do that.
All right, yeah.
Please, everybody, join us. Whether you vote or not, everybody is invited to participate in.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And we do have a professional judge here. Gigi says he has judged chili at Calingo or somewhere.
All right. Good. Is that Gigi?
Yeah.
All right, Gigi. All right.
You have to pay the judge here.
Oh, well, Jim Passmore and I are our own judge. I mean, we're good judges, right? We judge good chili and barbecue and all that good stuff. All right, and different people have different fun talking about it, but there's just going to be a lot of chili and barbecue in heaven. That's just all there is to it. And we know the Lord barbecued fish when the fishermen or the disciples were out fishing, and he was over there barbecuing some fish. Oh, he grilled it. Well, grilled it on a homemade barbecue pit. All right. So let's plan on having fun when we reach that point. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit in regard to his giving. With this in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, one of the greatest privileges that we have is to be a part of the dissemination of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers, the spreading of the word through the internet, young people, missionaries, and right here. So, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll use them to further this cause. And what's so interesting, Father, is we don't know. We put in some money. That's the end of it as far as we're concerned. But you know. And you relate our relationship of blessings to what happens in the spreading of the gospel. There's just so many ways, Heavenly Father, that we're unaware that you bless. So, Father, we pray this morning that you'll receive these offerings, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
About 15 years ago, I truly surrendered all. I felt I was sort of going, I tried the world's way, God's way, and I knew that what brought me happiness is when I totally surrendered to the Lord. And this song, Phil said something about it, it's in the old Baptist church, and we sang it really for an invitational song. And he said, Phil said, you mean there's only three verses? I thought there were 47. Because if you didn't go down on the first, the second, third, they're going to keep singing. But it's a beautiful song, and if you just listen to the words, that just surrender to Him, because that's the only happiness that we're going to find in this world.
Thank you, James, Judith, and Wes. Next Sunday, I've forgotten about it, is Communion. It's the first Sunday of the new month. So that's next Sunday. So we'll have chili cook-off today, and then next Sunday we'll have another one. So we'll just keep doing this, find different reasons. We'll feed you to come on Sunday. It's good to see y'all. So, next Sunday is Communion. Then the next Sunday, a little added treat, John Hintz will be here to teach the following Sunday, second Sunday of March. And then he and I will go to Houston for the pastor's conference. And so be in prayer about these things. Okay. Do what? It's at Westside Baptist, Bible Church in Houston. Yeah, and I forgot what the theme is. John and I just like to go to enjoy each other, and cause whatever havoc we can cause at the conference. Okay, one more bit of church business. After this service, either after you've eaten one chili or maybe before you've eaten chili, I need about five men, healthy, to get a very heavy but beautiful table out of that green monster truck out there, and we're going to put it in our foyer. It's a beautiful table, and but it is heavy. So we'll need about maybe five men that are healthy and get out there and help move it. We can, I picked it up and put it in. No, I didn't. And, but. Well, where did the table originate from? That's such a long story and a fun story. But to make it short, Judith went to an estate sale and found me some beautiful bookcases. And, of course, now I got to go to all the trouble of taking out all my books and put them in. And, so I went back the next day to pick up the bookcases. Steve went with me with his truck. And Steve and I were walking through, and there was this beautiful china cabinet. And it started off at about $2,500. It was marked down to $1,200. And the lady that was there Monday morning, no one, the sale was over, and she said, "I'll make you a deal. If you want it, you can have it for $200. I went, "Whoa, okay." So I brought Judith back, and we take a look at it. Well, there was this beautiful table sitting in another room there, and Judith and I were just looking at it. She says, "If you buy the china cabinet, I'll give you that." Well, I mean, we were just giving away stuff, so. Oh, yeah. And so there's the history of it. But it is beautiful, and it'll look so nice in the foyer there. And you can spill stuff on it, won't bother it. And it's too big to be a kitchen table, but really nice for our foyer. Anyway, we need about five or six men after this class to go out, so please don't forget. Now, next, did everyone get a new handout? It says at the top, the 10th chapter of Daniel continued. Is there anyone who didn't get it? Let me put it that way. Did anyone not pick up a cat? All right, Steve, we need two up here. Three? No, two. Two here. Anyone else not have one of the new ones? Okay, so everybody has one. It's got to be the new 10th chapter of Daniel continued. Oh. The 23rd is on the bottom. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. You know, I really appreciate James bringing in a wonderful music deal program here and things, and I really appreciate him doing these outlines. I really do. I mean, these have been phenomenal. But sometimes he gets a little testy. He said, "You do realize that when you started this, you said it would be 4 months, and." Do you realize how long it's been? I said, I hung up. So, but I hope you've enjoyed Daniel and are still enjoying it, because there's so much for us to learn, and today is going to be very important for us individually. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, you've given us the Old Testament scriptures for encouragement in our life as we continue in the angelic conflict, as we live each day as under the Lord. So we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see, things you'd have us to understand about Daniel, Daniel's time, the angelic conflict, end of time, and the church age. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, last week, we finished up the angelic conflict, and we began with 10:13. And 10:13 is in the middle of your page here. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me, standing opposite me to prevent me from getting you the word, took his stand to oppose me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, and came to help me. So this is where we left off. And this is about Daniel and Daniel's people, but it's going to have a very important aspect for us in the church age. In Daniel 9:26, they are told that their history would see nothing but wars and desolations, and that's all that the nation of Israel has seen. That's all that the people of Israel have seen, not just the nation, have seen. They were on the land for a while, taken out of the land, came back into the land, taken out of the land in 70 A.D., and have been out of the land in desolation. And then in 1947 of this year, they went back into the land, and it's been nothing but conflict. So, but this is not just about the people of Israel, the Jews. It's also for us today, and I'll show you that as we go through this. He wants to... Satan wants to get rid of all the Jewish people. He's got to get rid of the Jewish people. If he gets rid of the Jewish people, God cannot keep his word. If God cannot keep his word, he is not God. So this is Satan's objective in this regard. And one of the most remarkable stories through the history of the Gentiles is how the Jews come back stronger after every attempt to assassinate and get rid of them. Esther is a prime example. The Holocaust is a prime example. But there are many others. The Inquisition by Spain. So the more attempts to just annihilate and get rid of the Jews only ends up bringing in and making them stronger. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, one of the high-ranking angels in the army of Satan, was withstanding me, this angel who was sent to bring the message down to Daniel, took his stand to oppose me for 21 days, and the angels were in hand-to-hand combat. I say hand-to-hand, I don't think they got hands and wings or what, but they were in combat with each other. And then Michael, behold Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael is one of the only archangel named in the Word of God. He comes and supplies a way for God's messenger to get the message to Daniel. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now, let's ask a question. Does God need the help of angels to accomplish his plan? In fact, does God need us to accomplish his plan? These things are reported to let us know that we might see what cannot be seen with the eye. Not just the angelic conflict, but how these angelic forces are operating right now on earth. There's demonic angels over every nation on earth, large or small, important or unimportant. So this is going on right now. I know that to most of the world, what we're studying here is babblings of a fool, but to those of us who believe this is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, these things are real. These things are true. These things are happening and are going to happen in history. These are truthful facts that are going on. One more vital point about the angelic conflict and God. It is allowed by God. Don't forget that. If God did not want the angelic conflict to continue, it would never continue. It would be over. But God allows demons to operate just as God allows your volition to choose against him or for him. This is one of the great problems with Calvinism. They miss out on some of the great drama of the angelic conflict of history of man. If the whole thing is just a big train set run by somebody up here, God, running the machinery, telling everybody what to do, that's no big deal. The contest in the spiritual warfare with God is not that he is a genius and he can build a train set that he can just sit up there and tell everybody, well, you're going to go this way, you're going to go that way, and run it all. If that were the issue, then that's fine. But the issue is the righteousness of God and the love of God. And so he allows man to have volition to make up his own mind. And so this is what the history of man is about. And we saw last week in our extemporaneous time together that the angelic conflict is real. And the angels are real. They're watching. They're observing. And the conflict in your life, these things are all related to this spiritual warfare. But God allows it. So God allows your volition to work. God allows the angelic conflict to continue. The invisible conflict, people, is about God Himself. We learn so much about God as we study the angelic conflict. We learn about God and study of so many things, but you learn about God in regard to the study of the angelic conflict. God has a plan. People, He has a plan for your life. You can either get into that plan or you can choose to stay out of the plan. But God has a wonderful plan for every one of us. That doesn't mean it's all going to be wonderful. God has a plan, and His plan may be that you will be a martyr. His plan may be that you suffer. His plan, but it will all be for the glory of Christ and for your eternal position and glory in heaven. So God has a plan. The angelic conflict, human sins, and evil. All of this is allowed by God. He allows the forces of darkness to work. Look at Luke 22:53 here in the bottom of your page. While I, Jesus Christ, was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of darkness are yours. So God allows the volition of the angelic forces and of man to operate, taking him to the cross. And we learn about ourselves. Are you going to continue to trust him, though you do not understand? No, no. All that God is doing, you still trust him. This is where Job ended up in chapter 42. I retract everything I've said. You're God. I don't understand. I trust you. And it's a marvelous place to be. It took him 41 chapters to get there. Some of us are more hard-headed than others. If you're wise, you'll learn it right away. But some of us take a long time. Okay, I give up. You're in control. And it will be for your glory. All right. So we learn about ourselves. Are you going to trust him, though you do not understand what's going on? The angelic conflict is about God. It's about angels. It's about mankind. Thank you. And it is about ourselves. Okay, let's go to the next step. How are prayers transmitted? You ever thought about that? I never have. Never thought about it. How are they transmitted? They're not by radio signals, nor by light beams. That would take forever. Our prayers are heard in heaven while we think them. He knows it before we even do it. But just talking about the actual giving of the prayer. He knows about it when it enters your head. He knows it, and he's working in regard to how you're praying. And now verse 13, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. This means this angel was left there in a position of preeminence, in a strategic position on the field of battle. Here's God. Here's Daniel. Strategic time in history. God sends an angel with the message. The demons come and try to interfere with it. It's just such a preeminent position in the spiritual warfare. Well, let me tell you something, people. Every one of you are in a preeminent position in the angelic conflict. I know what some of you may think. I'm not that important. I'm just not important. I'm not even important to my dog. I'm not important to my spouse. I'm not important at work. The world's going to go right on, not even skip a beat when I leave. I'm just not important. You're wrong. You're wrong. And if anybody's ever told you that, you listen to them, shame on you. Listen to what God says. It is no accident. You are where you are at this time in history. No accident at all. You're in a preeminent position in the angelic conflict. It is exactly where God wants you. And for you to think you're not important, For you to think it's not important whether I come to Bible class on Wednesday night, Sunday, or even study the Bible, nobody, it doesn't really matter, that's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Got to understand that. That's exactly what he wants you to think. It just doesn't really matter whether I go. It doesn't really matter whether I'm in Bible class, whether I grow in the Word, whether I walk by faith. It doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter to God. And it matters to the spiritual warfare. People, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. We spent a long time on studying the lessons on SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. And we studied, you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to value who you are in Christ, and you have to be pleased and satisfied with who you are in Christ. I don't care what you are in the world. I don't care if you're intelligent or not intelligent, beautiful, not beautiful, strong, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. It's who you are in Christ. That's who you've got to see every time you look in the mirror. I'm getting all these wrinkles now. I'm getting this and then that. This, I'm not. No. You look in the mirror and you see who you are in Jesus Christ. That's who you are before God. And nobody else matters. You have been left here by God for a purpose. People, why when you and I believed in Christ, didn't he just take us home? I believed in Christ, boom, seven, gone. But here I am still here. Here you are still here. Why is that? Why is that? What do you do about God? What do you do about Jesus Christ? What do you do about the Holy Spirit? What you do about the Word of God? These are the questions that are important in your life. Not your bank account. Not how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are. These things are vital to fulfilling who your position and who you are in Christ. It is an invisible warfare. People, you can't see it. Now, I'll tell you what you can't see. You can often see some of the ramifications. Trouble. Your marriage and your finance and your health. All these things. All these things are results of the angelic conflict. These things are a result of man's sin in the garden. All these things are part of the conflict. But you may not see it all unless you live by faith. All right, let's move to verse 14 of Daniel 10. Now, I have come to give you, this is the angel talking to Daniel, I, the angel, sent from God, have come from God to give you, Daniel, an understanding of what will happen, future tense, to your people in the latter days. So we have two very important things. Your people in the latter days. All right, what is this about? This is about Israel. It's not about the church. It's about Israel. All right, when the latter days? What does all of this refer to? Dominion theologians, replacement theologians, take close note here. This is very important. The church is not the people, not the people of Daniel. The church is not the people of Daniel. We're not. Okay. Dominion theology, replacement theology. Here is the age of Israel, all the Old Testament, and then when you come to the cross, and then you have the church replaces Israel. Don't fall for that, people. That's a lie. That's Satan's lie. That the church is replacing Israel. Israel will never be replaced. Israel has a future. The covenants of God are going to be granted to them, not to us. They're not given to us. They're given to Israel. Israel has its future. Dominion theology, replacement theology, says the church replaces Israel. Well, it looks like that way for 2,000 years, doesn't it? No, it really doesn't. None of you really kept note of what's been happening to the Jews through history. And so there's a lot going on. Don't be suckered into that. If the church replaces Israel, then God is a liar and no longer God because he gave covenants to Israel. He didn't give those covenants to us. There's nowhere in the Bible, oh, by the way, I transferred the covenants I gave to Israel, I give to the church. That's what dominion theology or replacement theology claims. Didn't do that. These are to Israel. And Israel is here. And every time you meet a Jew or see a Jew, you thank God. There is the faithfulness of God. God is going to be faithful to his people in the future time. Okay. So, they have a guaranteed a prophetic future. People, they're the only ones who have a guaranteed land, guaranteed prophetic future. Church doesn't. We're going to be raptured. We're leaving this earth. Now, he is talking about physical heritage of Daniel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what would happen to them in the latter days. So this is a prophecy that will extend through all the church age to when the church is snatched off the earth, the rapture. Snatched, taken, or raptured off of the earth. Now note the purpose. Note the purpose. For divine information, which you have in your lap, the Bible. The Bible, I give to you understanding. Actually, this is a causative hifil in the Hebrew, and that means to cause you to understand. People, that Bible you're holding in your hand is to cause you to understand. To understand Scripture requires three interacting dynamics. One by itself isn't going to do it. They interact. And the first one, the Word of God that you have in your lap. The Holy Spirit that you have inside of you. And your faith that you also have inside of you. And it's up to you whether you will administer your faith in the Word of God, trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word of God to you so that you have an understanding of all these things. It's so essential. But what I want you to understand is this is the causative hifil. But you will be caused to understand. God wants you to understand His Word. If you don't understand it, it's not God's fault. He has sent you the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, your faith. And it's up to you to find a Bible teacher to listen to study under. People, it amazes me how parents are so particular about where they send their kids to be educated and all of that, and then take them to any church and let the pastor, who doesn't know a thing, fill their soul with garbage, non-biblical stuff. That's amazing. That's more important than the education. Far more important than what they would get in education. So, you're opening up your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. This is up to you. This is entirely up to you. I like the way it's said in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches. He who has an ear, he refers to the believer. The believer who has an ear. Now this doesn't refer to your physical ear. It refers to a positiveness toward the Word of God inside your soul. Let him hear. This means you make yourself available to the hearing of the Word of God. What the Spirit says. This is not Shakespeare. This is not history book. It's not a novel. This is the Word of God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to cause you to understand correctly what's going on in the Word of God, the Bible. So the function of the Holy Spirit, your faith, reception from the Holy Spirit gives you this understanding. And that is what an angel is saying to Daniel. Now I have come to cause you to have understanding. Now, I don't want you to miss all that God is going through to get Daniel the Word of God. This is how important it is. He first of all sends an angel with a message. Daniel prayed, God started answering, sends a message. The angel encounters demonic opposition. He's on his way down. There stands an angel where he can't get to Daniel, a demonic angel, to counter the plan of God in getting Daniel that message. Israel's high-ranking angel, Archangel Michael, he is especially assigned to Israel. There's a special demon and angel assigned to America. There's a special demon and elect angel assigned to every country. So here's Israel's high-ranking archangel, Michael, has come to help fight off those demonic angels. Then this angelic messenger makes it to Daniel to give Daniel this information. And it is imperative that Daniel be alert. We're now down to where the rubber touches the road. If I just paraphrase all of this, God has allowed the Holy Spirit to get the writing of Scripture the way He wants it into Scripture, into writing. He has preserved that writing. Then the Caucasian 66 books, the 66 books that God wanted, Oh, what about the forgotten the Gospels and the forgotten book? No, these are the same. People, do you think he cares so much about the writing of his word? Oh, but God missed it when it came to compiling his Bible. I don't think so. What's your view of God? These are the books he wants us to have. And I remind you, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we want to know. The Bible does tell us everything we need to know. Always remember that. So, he did all of that, preserved it, so now we have a Bible. My goodness, you can probably, I don't know for sure, but I would think for less than $4 you can buy a Bible at Walmart. I mean, this is just amazing, the access to the Bible. But then it comes down to where we are right now this morning, taking this book, transferring it to your soul. He doesn't drop the ball there. The Holy Spirit as the minister's illumination of Scripture. He illuminates it to me at my desk. He illuminates it to you now as we study the Word of God. He gets you this information right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is wisdom of the book of Daniel. Remember, Daniel is in the wisdom section of the Hebrew Bible, not in the prophecy section, prophetic section, but in the wisdom section. You desire wisdom? Study the Word of God in the filling of the Holy Spirit. We don't have an angel giving us information. In case anybody's illusioned here, I'm not an angel. So let's just get that clear. We don't have angels coming down and giving it to us. What we do have is the Word of God, the written Word of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you've got two-thirds of it right there already in your possession. The written Word, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now your faith activates the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and make it clear in your soul. The effect of these words on Daniel. Now think about this. And as we go through this, I want to remind you, he's closing in on 90. He's no spring chicken anymore. This is an old man. Okay. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. Well, let me just jump ahead and tell you one thing. He is in no condition to receive Scripture. He's in no condition. All right, now let's go from there. That Daniel's body is closing in on 90 years of age. Well, here it is for you. His body is old. He looked at the ground and became speechless. You may not lose your strength, but I do hope all of you experience the effect of understanding the Word of God, especially in times of tribulation in your life. The powerful effect of the Word of God on your bodies. When you are under pressure, suffering, tribulation, to just sit down quietly, open the Word of God, take in the Word of God, there's a peace that comes over you. Here's all your problems that you're dealing with. I used to use it a lot as an example. You're at home, the phone rings, you pick up the phone, your child has just died on the highway. Now, right there, you have a decision. You can fall apart, think of yourself, think of your child, and fall apart. Or you right there think, God. God is in control. And hang up that phone. And that's going to make all the difference in what you do from that point on. So, you decide you're going to just steal away, take the text, go into prayer, and sense the peace that fills your soul. Daniel cannot learn while he's disoriented. So another angel comes to render Daniel capable of thinking and learning and understanding. We have seen in chapter 10 several categories of angels. Just in one chapter, we have seen the angel of Jehovah, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. We've seen the messenger angel who came to bring God's message to Daniel. Then we have introduced to the demonic angels who fight against their receiving the word of God. We have the archangel Michael to fight off the demon angels. Now we have an angel who comes to Daniel to give him some strength. And I'll have some more to say about that in a moment. Verse 16. We're just moving right along here. Verse 16. And behold, these things are happening to Daniel, one thing after another. That's the behold. One who resembled a man, a human being, this angel took the form of a human, was touching my lips, first aid, before me. Okay, something that has been pointed out by others, not by me alone, but by others, that all through the Scripture, angels do not minister to people on earth spiritually. We make too much out of angels, people. I don't want you to ignore them, but don't make more out of them than is there. They do not minister to people spiritually. This is something that the Holy Spirit does for you. This is something that God does for you, not angels. The Holy Spirit ministers to us spiritually. But we do have, all through Scripture, angels ministering to people physically. In Exodus, they provided Elijah food. If you ever want to read a funny story, read Elijah when he tries to escape and goes and hides in a cave. I mean, that is so funny. The angel wakes him up and, gives him some food, go back to sleep. And then the angel wakes him up again. It's a great story. All right? And angels provided Jesus Christ with food. Angels got Peter out of jail. That was a miracle, miraculous story. But never do we find an angel providing for a human spiritually. It's the Holy Spirit that you have in you. So, when you are down, and people, we're all going to be down. We just heard this morning in James that you're going to have, when the suffering comes, count it joy. Here's part of the reasons why and what's going on. You're going to be down. It may be health, financial, marriage, family, whatever it is, or just the pressure of loneliness, whatever it is, you're going to be down. So when you're down, do not pray to or for an angel. Go to the Holy Spirit by faith. He is the one who gives knowledge. He is the one who gives peace. He is the one who gives joy. He is the one who gives you courage. Not angels, God the Holy Spirit. Then I opened my mouth and spoke to and said to him who was standing, "Oh, my Lord." It is interesting to study John's interaction with the angel in the book, throughout the book of Revelation. This is simply a matter of respect to the authority and rank of an angel. One thing that we're losing today as the nation becomes darker, we're losing so much, but one of the little things that I see happening, loss of respect for adults. Kids aren't taught to say, "Yes, ma'am," "No, ma'am," "Yes, sir," "No, sir." It's, "Yeah," "What?" "Nah." What happened to you? "Yes, ma'am." "No, sir." These kind of things. Loss of respect of authority. This is not accidental. As America becomes darker and darker, as it moves away from the cross, moves away from the Word of God, it becomes darker. We saw last week how that attracts demonic activity from Africa, where it's been a dark continent. America's becoming a dark continent. We're going to see more and more demonic activity as we become darker. So this is merely a matter of respect. "Oh, my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish." Now, the Hebrew word means that this vision has caused a feeling of distress and even hopelessness on Daniel, "has come upon me, and I have retained no strength in his body, in his soul." Something has happened to this old man's body, and I doubt any doctor is going to be able to help him in any way. And you don't need to sell him any nourishing food. This is all spiritual conflict. 4, verse 17. "For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord?" Bonafide humility. "As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me." This old man has had it because of the conflict. This is really affecting Daniel physically. And people, let's face the facts. Things happen in your life. It will affect you physically. Psychosomatics. From the mind, it affects the body. They found a lot of times cancer is from the mind, affecting the body. A lot of problems that happen to our body is because of what's going on in the mind. A lot of heart conditions are being diagnosed because of what happened in that person's mind. That they brought their heart down, tore their heart apart because of what's going on in the mind. So this old man is experiencing some really tough things. "Then one with human appearance touched me." This angel administers supernatural first aid. "Again, and strengthened me physically." this is some kind of a medical angel. I don't know if that's a classification of angels or not, but that's what he's doing. He's a first aid angel. And he came along the road, and he's administering first aid. So he's giving first aid to Daniel. Now we come to verse 19. See how quickly we're moving here? James, we're going to pick it up. All right, verse 19. He said, O man, not old man, but O man of high esteem. We've studied that now several times. Greatly beloved. Said of David, a man after God's own heart. Said of Abraham, a friend of God. Here, Daniel, a man of high esteem or greatly beloved by God. People, you need to know that these things can be said of every one of you. Nobody likes me in the world. People don't care about anybody. It's what the Lord thinks of you, what God thinks of you. That's the only one you and I have to be concerned with. And you can have these things said of you. How? Living by faith. Okay, what is so special about these men? Not sinlessness. In the matter of failure. But these men lived by faith. Now, the angel gives three introductions or instructions to Daniel. And they are wisdom for each of us in times of tribulation. Note the three. Do not be afraid. And by the way, they are in specific order. They're not just a list. They are a list of order. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, people, we've seen something like this in the study to Joshua and the people like Joshua. This man's 90 years old, about close to 90 years old. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage. Grab the sword and go out and fight. That's not what's going on. That's not what's going on to this old man. Each one of these are studying in and of themselves. All three of these are the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, O man of high esteem, Daniel 10:19, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength. Said, my Lord, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And what does he say? Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, I'm going to give you a list of things and we're going to talk about them. Okay, one. The first thing that needs to be realized is that you cannot do any of these in the flesh, by the energy of the flesh. Anything by the energy of the flesh is not acceptable to God. This is not a feel good about yourself book. This is not a promotion book. Motivational speaking. That's good in the human realm. Doesn't hold anything in the spiritual. So you can't do these in the flesh. You may can try, but you're not going to do it to God's the way God wants you to. Point two. All three of these are ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you have to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can forget these three exhortations. You can forget and not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. If you don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, these are functions of the Holy Spirit, which I'll show you. But I'm just giving you some introductory principles. All three of these are ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, forget it. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit is the first question you've got to ask. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit through faith. And stay there regardless of the circumstances. The circumstances may get worse. And you may get your eyes on the circumstances and get out of the filling of the Spirit. Don't do that. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your eyes focused on what's important. This is what is very important. So you have to know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Stay there regardless of the circumstances. Those circumstances may get worse or they may calm down. But you have to continue to live by faith. Major point three of introduction. This is wisdom for every believer regardless of the dispensation. Regardless of the dispensation, this is wisdom. No matter the circumstances, Hear your courage in action. Fear not. Be at peace. Take courage from God's Holy Spirit and be courageous. Now I'm going to stop right here at the point three, and I'm going to kick off from where Phil was this morning in the 9:15 class. Some of you weren't able to make it and you missed a great message, but I want you to take your Bibles, hope you didn't put those on the floor, and look with me at Romans 15. This is so super. Phil taught on this morning. Made me ashamed that I hadn't already put it in here. Romans 15. Look at verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever, you know, I asked the Lord, keep me alive so I can finish Romans. He said, I don't have to wait to give you 150 years, Herman. So anyway, for whatever was written in earlier times, that's Daniel. That includes Daniel. Whatever was written, what we're studying right now, in earlier times, was written for our instruction. This is for our instruction. That through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might retain hope. We might have hope. So people, this is for us. Now let's go back to our notes. Point four. These are in a specific order. You cannot be courageous if you're in fear. The absence of fear is faith. Faith leads to peace, which in turn makes the believer able to be courageous. And point five, very important observation. This exhortation is similar to what God gave Joshua before he led the people into the promised land across Jordan. But remember, Daniel is an old man. He's 85 years old or older. Daniel is not going into any physical battle. Nothing that would cause him to be courageous physically. He's not having marital problems. He's not having work problems. But look what it said. Fear not. Be at peace. Take courage. And be courageous. People, this is for every one of us. No matter what's going on, when tribulation comes into your life. So what's going on with this old man that he needs to be told this? You and I, what would you and I say? Daniel, just lie down now. Just lie down. Go ahead and have a Coca-Cola. It ain't going to kill you. You're already close to there anyway. Just lie down. And you've been through a lot. You've been tested. You've proven yourself. They cash in lines. You took that okay. Everything's fine. Just lie down. Let some of the younger people handle all of this now. No, sir. Daniel, I have a job for you. And so here's what he said. He is in the angelic conflict. He is in the invisible war. He's getting ready to hear the Word of God. And people, sometimes, often, before you hear the Word of God, you have to get rid of fear. And have peace in your soul. And be courageous as you learn. Things are going on in your life. I don't want to go to Bible class. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. Things are just too heavy right now. I can't pray. I don't know what to do. Things are just too rough. And I fear what's going to happen to me. I fear what's going to happen to my body. I fear what's going to happen to my home. I fear what's going to happen to my children. I fear all these things. Well, people, you're in no shape to hear the Word of God. You've got to take care of your soul and what's going on inside of you. So, the next page. It may be some great crisis in your life, in your family, the death of someone that you love or your own. It may be financial crisis. To the Jews, it may be getting through the Holocaust. It may be something in your environment. It might be related to your nation. I cannot even begin to name all the tribulations that could happen to a room even this size that could happen into your life. They're all different, and they're designed for you individually. You may not understand why, well, all right, those things happen, and that's bad, but, you know, they got to tough it up. They just got to tough it up. People, you don't know what's going on in the spiritual warfare in somebody else's life. That's why we're not to judge. We're to encourage. So these things will happen in every individual's life. Things will happen that will cause you to really suffer, that you can't understand. But no matter the tribulation, we must go to the Word of God. And before we go to the Word of God, we have to be ready for whatever the Word of God says to us. We have to have peace. Get rid of fear. The world cannot bother me any more than God is going to allow. For me to die, if it's something related to death, for me to die is gain. I think being afraid of death is the most ridiculous thing in the world if you think of what's on the other side. God has told us what's on the other side. We'll see that in our study on Wednesday night. So it doesn't matter. You just got to calm down. This isn't so great. This isn't that terrible. Tomorrow's going to come. I'm going to have to eat. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. I'm going to have to sleep. I'm going to have to do these things. Just calm down. Get rid of the fear, so that you can think when you approach the Word of God. So you've got to get rid of the fear. No matter what the tribulation is, before you go into the Word of God, get rid of the fear. Put it aside. And then you start having peace. See what happens if I can dramatize it? I was in great fear. Whew. It's not as bad as I thought. Even my example. Your child just died on the highway. My child's with the Lord. That's not bad. That's better than being home with me. He's home with the Lord. She's home with the Lord. So you're taking a lot of burden off your shoulder. You're getting a peace about it. Just start. The Holy Spirit starts giving you this inner peace. God's in control. Then you're ready for the taking courage. You cannot grasp Scripture when you are in fear. And we must be able to take courage and be courageous. Not in regard to the crisis, people. Please get this down. Not in regard to the crisis, but in regard to the Word of God. In regard to the fact that God is in control. Don't look at the crisis. Don't look at the crisis. Look at God. The whole thing I heard with kids. Don't tell God about the storm in your life. Tell the storms in your life about God. That's what you want to do. You want to tell the problems in your life about your God. Not God about your problems. That's how powerful He is. So the peace starts settling over, and now you're starting to become courageous. You cannot grasp Scripture in fear. We must be able to take courage, be courageous, not in regard to the crisis, but in regard to the Word of God, in regard to your relationship with God. We start off with a list of some of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit, the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Philip called our plaque over here our cheat notes on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh man, he let them know. Well, I can just look up and have it real quick. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I started to say, I hope you're not, but if you're ever in a condition in life where peace is, I just need peace. I don't need money. I need peace. You know where to go get it. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to His plan. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And that's a powerful statement historically. Haggai 2:5, I'm glad that James put this in for you. As for the promise which I made you when you come out of Egypt, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. We have the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Isaiah 11:2. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Jesus Christ, his anointed. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. People, don't have fear about what the world can do. Don't have, just if you want to have fear in a quotations, I don't want to let him down. He died for me. I'm here to represent him. So that's the only thing. So he says, do not be afraid. Fear is of the flesh. When the flesh is threatened, we are afraid of what may happen to us or to those we love. And people, this happens in our mind, not in the circumstances of your life. I don't know about any of you, but I have sat in an air-conditioned theater with popcorn and a Coke in my hand and scared to death at what was going on the TV. Put my camera, my Coke and my popcorn, sat there like this, maybe just kind of looking. Fear. It was real. It affected my body. I was afraid. Here I am in an air-conditioned room. Wonderful food, people around, in fear. People, you got to let the fear go supernaturally, and it's by the Holy Spirit. And then he says, peace be with you. Well, let's go back. Do not be afraid. No one, not man nor angel, can do anything to you which God is not prepared for. The Holy Spirit is never threatened, so the exhortation not to be afraid is an appeal, not appeal to the flesh, but to faith. Peace be with you. This is inner peace, people. Not about not what you don't have or what you're losing in the world. This is inner peace. That all things are going to work out for the glory of God and your reflected glory. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural peace in the angelic conflict, the invisible warfare. And let me tell you something about this peace. You know when it's of God. Now, when everything's going okay and you're at peace, I don't really know if that's of God or not. I know I trust the Holy Spirit and I feel good and not worried, but boy, when there's reason to fear, when that little the train of life going along and pow, run into a wall. Now if you have peace, now I know where it's coming from. Because the circumstances of my life do not merit peace. My traditional self, scream, holler, fall on the floor. But here I am with peace, supernaturally. My normal self, when I got that bad news on the phone, would be to fall apart. But this is the peace over me. Can't even understand it. It's beyond understanding. It's a peace of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural peace. But you got to know how to tap into the Holy Spirit by faith. So the angelic conflict, the invisible war, you could have this wonderful peace no matter what's going on outside you because of inside of you the peace of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the closing. Take courage and be courageous. You will note that we have two exhortations here. Take courage is a cal imperative of the verb meaning to be courageous, to have strength, followed by the same verb and be courageous. Okay, what do we have going on with this? Turn the pages. Okay. Take or receive courage. Now, where do you receive it? Do you drink it out of a bottle or a cup or something? No. It's from the Holy Spirit inside your soul. You take it by faith. And you will be courageous in understanding the vision that is before you. There are times in our lives when we just have to have courage in what is being revealed in Scripture. Not in regard to what's going on in life. What's revealed in Scripture? Count it all joy. Count it joy! Count the loss of my child. Count the loss of this. This is happening. This is going on in my country. All these things. And you say, count it joy? I'm not ready for that. Just calm down. Calm down. Don't be afraid. God is still in control. Be at peace. Take courage. Take courage. Not the courage to change things. Not the courage to make it better. Not the courage to bring back someone if they died or whatever these things. Take courage in the Lord. Take courage in His Word. Take courage in regard to what's happening in your life, especially if you don't understand it. So verse 19, verse 19, he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. And as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And I hope you see what's going on. As he started receiving the word of God, Daniel was strengthened. People, here's what will make you feel good. Get into the word of God. You may not even feel like eating. You don't feel like sleeping. But just get into the word of God and watch his miracle of bringing peace over you. The same thing will happen to you as you live and walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and start receiving the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will start strengthening you, giving you courage in regard to the Word of God, which in turn gives you courage in regard to the circumstances of your life. There'll be a peace over you. This is real. People throughout history have experienced this. And there will be those who will experience it today. There'll be those who will experience it tomorrow. But it's up to you whether you will experience it. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and your faith. Do you really trust Him, regardless of what's going on in your life? Or do you have to have things your way? So we will resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, wow, Father, we covered so much. We learned about you. We learned about your love, your concern for us, that you've given us this information to give us courage. You've given us your Spirit to give us peace, to take away fear. Fear comes from our flesh. Peace comes from your Spirit. And Father, we just praise you for the God you are. I pray now, Father, you'll take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our souls, and then become reality in our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Don't forget, we need some...